It's such an honor, firstly, to know Jesus, and then secondly, to be able to worship him as we should. The earth doesn't know him yet, but they are shortly to find out. There's a scripture, it's in the book of Paul quotes it from Isaiah. All in the Old Testament, New Testament, Revelation, all has foundation in the Old Testament. That's why your knowledge of the Old Testament is essential. If you don't know the Old Testament well, you can't really appreciate many of the things that were said in the New Testament. And this is one of them. He said, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And he got it from Isaiah chapter 45, somewhere in there, where God says, you know, I've sworn by myself that unto me every knee will bow. Now, what does that mean? It means that there is coming a time in the earth, and that time, let me say it the way Jesus says it. He says, the hour is coming and now is. That's the best way to put it. The hour is coming and now is when every tongue will confess. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, they may not bow to accept him as Lord and accept him as Savior, but they will bow and acknowledge that he is God, he is Lord, and there is none other. And they will be forced to bow their knee because they will be brought into subjection of the power of the kingdom of God. That is going to what the Bible calls, I haven't started my message, this is just a rule in the affairs of men. It says, out of Zion, the rod of strength will come. Rule, where? In the midst of thine enemies. That's not a millennial promise. There are no enemies in the millennium. It's now. So I have a prophetic message that has just been downloaded to me this morning during the worship. I had another message, which I will give. Turn to your neighbor and say, make sure you come to church tomorrow. I didn't hear you. But this one, as I was just worshiping God now, he just said, do this one today. And the title is so prophetic. It actually started from when we started to sing those hymns. And that particular hymn, I came up to Hark the Herald Angels Sing, you know, and so I wasn't sure. And then it kept building up. And then as we sang some other songs, the whole thing came together. And it is called The Desire of All Nations. Let's bow to pray. Our Father and our God, again, we thank you for honoring our gathering and our worship and our celebration of the birth of Jesus today with your tangible presence. We're grateful. As we go into your word, we ask that same tangible presence go with us. Oh Lord, anoint me afresh. Help me to speak as I should, as an oracle of God. And then put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everybody who will hear me. Those who are physically present here and those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, anywhere in the world. So that your word will flow freely from you through me, Father, to the people to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened, with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great and insufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men, Lord God, to make them doers of what they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, that indeed I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring it out of the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name, we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving all the blessings mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, the desire of all nations. You know, the whole world is forced to celebrate Christmas, not because they all believe in Him, but because God, and that's my message for tomorrow, ruling in the affairs of men through the ripples of human history, so arranged it that the most powerful nations, both militarily, financially, and politically, are nations that officially acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ and the Bible. That has happened in the last 400 or 500 years. It began with, you know, the Reformation in Germany, and then in England, what we call the King James Version of the Bible was translated, and by the decree of the king, they were ordered to read the Bible in every church in England every Sunday. Now that's where we get, they will read the collect, they will read from the Gospels, they'll read from the epistles, and then they'll read one, some of the, there are three, you know, and it must be read every Sunday. And as that began to happen, God began to fill England and Europe with light, because the entrance of His word giveth light. And that's what caused the Industrial Revolution and other, I'm not going to go into all of that. You know, but the important thing is this. Within a space of, now 1611, so you go through the whole 1600s and the 1700s, by the time we get to the 1800s, Britain is the most powerful nation on the earth. Rule Britannia. The sun never set on the British Empire. They controlled Africa, large parts of Africa, including France too had a part, but not, you know, Britain had a great part. Then the jewel of the empire was India, then China, everywhere. And everywhere the empire went, the missionaries went. And everywhere the missionaries went, the Bible went. And so the culture of things like Christmas, you know, the celebration of the birth of Christ, became embedded into the culture of most nations, even without many of the people knowing Christ personally, you know. And that's why today, it doesn't matter where you are on the earth, you know, on Christmas Day, everything shuts down. So even if you want to do business, you have to do it yourself. Because every other place is shut down. All the international banks, you know, they're all shut down. Because all their headquarters are either in Washington or in London, you know, or some other nation, the entire Scandinavian peninsula, the whole of Europe, or the whole place, you know, has been enveloped by the knowledge of Christ. Now, that does not mean everybody there is a Christian. But you see, that's why the Bible says God rules in the affairs of men. God so arranged it that the most powerful nations, financially, militarily, you know, and politically, even Russia, even though they've gone into communism now, Russia, you know, original culture is Christian. The eastern part of the Roman Empire, you know, so it doesn't matter where you look, you're going to meet Jesus. Because He rules in the affairs of men. Give the Lord a clap offering. And that's why today, you like it or you don't like it, you believe or you don't believe, you will acknowledge that Jesus was born today. Well, you know, historians tell us that maybe it wasn't really today. That's not important. It's not significant. But there's a day that's been chosen. Everybody agrees that we celebrate His birth on this day, and everybody celebrates it. Hallelujah. Now, I don't have notes, so I'm flowing with the Spirit. But I have scriptures. The first one is in Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. We're talking about the desire of all nations. Let's read together verses 2, verses 6 and 7. I'll stop in verse 7 because I just want to stick with the Christmas message. I will deal with the other things in another message. It says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts," I didn't hear you, "yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake some nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory." I preached this prophetic message a few weeks ago, you know, on the glory of the latter house. I'm not going to go into that. What I want us to see here is that God, by the prophet Haggai, you know, prophesied thousands of years ago that there was going to come a shaking to all nations. And that shaking will cause the nations to desire God's deliverance. Let me put it that way. And so here he personifies it and says the desire of all nations shall come. And the consequence of his coming is to fill his church with the glory of God. It is that glory that is going to bring deliverance to the nations. And I must repeat this. I must keep repeating it. This is not a post-millennium event. In other words, it's not talking about, oh, when Jesus comes and then he's going to fill the heart with his glory, then all the nations are going to come to peace. That is going to happen too. But you must not forget, if you have a tendency to, that the Bible says that we're going to be partakers of the powers of the age to come. Consequently, the scriptures promise us that there is going to be on the earth, before Jesus returns physically, a measure of the taste of the millennial reign. In other words, everything we're going to see in the millennium, which is going to be the peace among the nations, we're going to see Jesus glorified, you know, the word of God, we're going to have a foretaste of it now. For there must be, and the scripture cannot be broken, there must be a company of God's people that will be partakers of the powers of the age to come. It's crucial you understand that. Because the tendency for most Christians, you know, and theologians is to put all us away, yes, yes, yeah, but it's going to happen when Jesus comes finally and in the millennium. That's not what he's talking about. That's going to happen, don't misunderstand me, but this is a prelude to the millennial reign. And we have scripture for it, that we must taste of the powers of the age to come. The age to come is the millennial reign. But there will be a company of God's people. I just got a fax, darling. There's going to be a bunch of God's people, a Davidic company, a Davidic dynasty that, like David, will operate millennial conditions in the New Testament like David operated New Testament in the Old Testament. That is why they are Davidic. David is the one, he's like a forerunner that showed that you can reach across dispensations and bring the blessings of a future dispensation into a present dispensation for one simple reason: to glorify God. "For I have found in David the son of Jesse a man after my own heart." Everything David did in the Old Testament was impossible. You don't touch the ark in the Old Testament. You die. The ark was veiled in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle of Moses. By the time David came along, Israel had so backslidden under Eli and Saul that the Philistines had already, they captured the ark. Can you imagine? It was during David's reign that David said, "Look, this is not good. Let's go and bring this thing back." And God honored him, even though they made a mistake, you know, by bringing on a cart, you know. But they corrected that, you know, and then they brought it on the shoulders of the priests. But you will observe, For those of you who know your scripture, and if you don't know your scripture, get to know it. Turn to your neighbor and say, in 2022, you must know your Bible. You must read your Bible every day. It will make the difference between life and death. I like that skit during Christmas Day by the Sermon Living Sermon Drama Group. Say, take fast hold of instruction. That's a very... You need to know your Bible. Because it's through the Word of God that the Holy Spirit teaches you things, speaks to you, and gives you light and life so that you can overcome the challenges of this. We're living in a very dark and difficult time of human history. But right on the other hand, we're also living in the most exciting time of human history. Because while it is true that there is gross darkness that is covering the earth, it is also equally true that the glory of God is going to arise upon the church. And kings will come to the brightness of our rising. So, you know, you got a choice here. I just got another tweet. You can either live in Goshen or you can live in Egypt. But both of them will exist together at the same time. There is going to be a Goshen. There already is, really. But it's going to expand in scope, you know, a Goshen, a spiritual Goshen on the earth in which God's glory is going to be shining and there will be healing and deliverance and blessing. And right next door, there will be a spiritual Egypt, which will be gross darkness. But anybody who wants to come from Egypt to Goshen is welcome. But he must fear the God of Goshen. In my Bible reading recently, you know, I read the Bible every day. I don't know about you. I say all those things deliberately to show you a good example. And I'm not a hypocrite. I don't preach one thing and live another. So by the grace and the mercy of God, I read the Bible every day. Even though I read it many, many times. See, I'm not reading the Bible anymore for information. I'm reading now for revelation. When you read the Bible the first few times, you're reading it for information because your mind doesn't know it yet. But after you read it after some time, you're not reading it again to find out, you know, whether David married Bathsheba or, you know. You're not reading it as a comprehensive passage. You're not reading it as an intellectual book. You're not reading it as a spiritual manual. That God will, from which God will give you revelation to deal with the challenges of your life. So I don't read the Bible anymore for information. I know what it says, you know, but I'm reading for revelation. And each time I read, I get fresh revelation. So a few days ago, I was reading my Bible reading got to the place in Exodus, you know, where the plagues, Moses was bringing the plagues upon Egypt. And he went to Pharaoh and said, you know, let my people go. And he said he won't. So he said, okay, I'm going to... God told Moses, stretch forth your hand to the heavens and a hail. Hail is like rain. But instead of it raining water, it's like raining small stones. And then those stones had fire. He said, there's never been anything like it in Egypt. So when... Watch this. Moses goes to Pharaoh and he tells him, you know, because you've hardened your heart, this was going to happen. There's going to be a hill. It says, around this time tomorrow, God gave them 24 hours of respite. Give the Lord another clap offering. You know, God is a very kind person. He didn't do it instantly. He gave them time, you know, 24 hours. The Bible says that the servants of Pharaoh that feared the Lord, they had seen enough sample. They knew that this guy, Moses, was dealing with the true God. He was not dealing with Ra, the God of the sun. You know, he was dealing with the true God. So the Bible says that all those, I chuckled as I was reading, I was laughing to myself. You know, they said they went to go and gather all their cattle out of the field. And as surely as the sun comes home, that hail came. All the Egyptians that left their cattle out, all their cattle died. Everything. But there were all the Egyptians who obeyed and feared the word of the Lord and took their cattle. Their cattle were saved, even though they were not in Goshen. Furthermore, no hail in Goshen. That's how it's going to be in the days to come. So people who are in the darkness, if they will listen to us, and that's why they will start coming to church. The Bible says that many people shall say, let us go to the house of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. You know why? They have seen too many terrible things happen on the earth and see the church demonstrating the powers of the age to come, delivering them. So they will come for deliverance. For in Mount Zion, deliverance. Thank you. Am I talking to anybody here? You know, I don't know where I'm going. I'm just following the Holy Ghost. Right. Very exciting Christmas message. Okay. I know where I'm going. I'm going to Jesus. Amen. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So I'm with him. So there's going to be we're living in a time of the shaking of all nations. And this shaking has already started. We're going to go to another scripture in a minute. And it's really bringing the nations to their knees. People are afraid. People really don't know what tomorrow is going to be. Look at this Omicron. They don't know. They'll say, it's showing good signs now. It's not as severe as the first one. But the scientists keep saying, let's wait and get more data and see how it goes, you know, over the next few weeks and months, especially, you know, because this is just December. Winter has just started. Officially, winter started December 21. So we still have two more months. We've got December to January. We've got January to February. Then February to March. Then March, spring starts. The worst times are in those months of real severe cold. You know, but I got good news for them. If they will listen to me, not me, Olubi, but the Holy Spirit, you know, it's going to be well. God has already stepped in and began to reduce the severity of that thing because of the intercession of the church. Are you listening to me? Let me just give you a small physics and chemistry and biology lesson. You see, everything you see at the microscopic level, you don't actually see them with your two eyes because they're too small, but you can see them with a microscope or an electron, you know, electron microscope and things like that. That's how, you know, you see them showing you the shape of this Delta virus, of this Delta virus, of this COVID-19. You know, that's how you can, they can see that there are spikes coming out of it, you know. And in the first variants, the first COVID-19 and then the Delta variant, those spikes would attach themselves to the cells in the lung and reduce human breathing. That was why it was so lethal and it was killing people. So what they did, and this is where God comes in, it's God who gave them the wisdom. You know, certain research, again, those countries, those same countries that acknowledge Jesus, England and America, the others too did theirs, you know. The Chinese did a little, you know, the Russians did a little. But how many people are using Chinese and Russian, what do we call it, you know, vaccine? They're there, but nobody, people don't trust, you know. Not that they don't work, don't misunderstand me, you know. But, you know, it always comes after the Europeans and the, you know. But the point is this, you know, what happened was that the vaccine goes into the virus, you know, and then it causes the spikes, you know, not to be able to attach themselves and puts antibodies inside us such that those antibodies are able to resist those spikes or not allow those spikes to connect. That's not all the, it's much more complicated than that, but just in a simple way. But and as I was meditating this morning and as I was praying, the Lord began to tell me, he said, who put the spikes there? A virus. Put spikes there. We must understand that at the cellular and molecular level, there is an intense battle going on between the forces of good and evil. Sickness is simply a distortion of health. So what the devil does is that he goes down to the DNA. He goes down. The guy knows chemistry and he knows physics and he knows biology. Trust me. You know? And so he can go in there and distort things. And that's what's caused those things. And then God gives people wisdom and then they bring another protein or another vaccine that can produce antibodies in us so that we can resist those things. Then the guy comes again and then he distorts another one to make it more lethal. And then the angels have to go back and work and then they get another thing. So this other one now, it has too many spikes. So it can't attach to the lungs, but it attached to the throat. So it gives you a throat. So its symptoms are more like the common cold and flu rather than the other one that was more severe that would cause a problem with your breathing and your lungs, which was more lethal and was causing a higher rate of mortality and death. So the point is this: God is moving. And as we pray, we, the Holy Spirit through us, is able to overcome and unravel the distortions that Satan is also producing in the natural, fulfilling the scripture that says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might do what? I didn't hear you. What's wrong with you? That's better. Everybody said destroy and stop there. Destroy what? Destroy the works of the devil. Sickness is the work of the devil. When we pray and release the power of the Holy Spirit, the power and the angels of God, they go to destroy the works of the devil. Give a lot of clap offering. Now, so we're in a situation in which all nations have been shaken. They're not going to be shaken. They're still shaking. And they have been shaken. And so the nations deep in their heart are looking for a solution. They don't know it. It's now called the desire of all nations. There's a desire amongst the nations for a deliverance from this onslaught. The onslaught is not only, can you imagine you're not living a normal life again? Before I can just get on the plane and say, okay, I'm going to England tomorrow. I can't do that again. I have to go and do a test. And let me tell you, anytime you go and do a test, pray about it. Because that's your own particular sample. Those spirits that distort things, all they have to do is just change one or two molecules and the thing will fall below the normal value and they will put it positive, whereas you're not positive, you're negative. So don't just go and do a test. When you go and do a test, pray. Now nothing interferes with your sample. I'm telling you the truth. Satan, the guy is a funny guy. He's not funny. You know what I mean. You know? God, distort your sample. But in all things, God works for your good. So even when the devil comes in, it's like playing chess. Sometimes you let a player take a pawn or even a knight or a bishop deliberately. Not because you didn't see he's going to do it. You actually see what he's going to do. But you also know that for those of you who play chess, and if you don't play chess, you need an education. I'm only joking. But you also know that if he dares take that knight or that bishop, he has opened up his flanks so that I can move a rook through in and checkmate his queen, put his king under check. And if he moves another move, the next thing I will put there to be checkmate. So he can have the bishop and I win the game. Give the Lord a clap offering. So, many times when Satan attacks you, sometimes God will allow him to take a bishop, but the next two moves are checkmate. He may win one or two moves, but you always win the battle. Give the Lord a clap offering. So don't be discouraged if you see a few pawns and things taken, you're just fixing to checkmate. Give the Lord a clap offering. So, the desire of all nations shall come. And that desire of all nations is Jesus. When he came the first time, like we sang today, the Bethlehem story, he came as a baby. Then he grew up, became a man, died for our sins, was raised from the dead, and went to heaven. Now, he's coming in us in what we call the spirit without measure. He has already come in us. We're born again. We have the spirit with measure, but we don't have the spirit without measure yet. And that is what the nations now in this present time of shaking their desire. They don't know what they're desiring, but that's what they desire. That's why we call it the desire of all nations. The Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's why he said, "The desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory." He's going to fill the church with his glory, according to Isaiah chapter 60. And it is that glory that is going to help the nations. He says, kings will come to the brightness of our rising. You know, that, you know, the nations, there'll be a harvest from the nations. There'll be a blessing to the nations. Let's look at some of those scriptures. Now, before I go there, let me look at another scripture. You know, it's in Luke 21. I saw this also in the Christmas story. As we're reading it this morning, you know, I said, praise God. You know, I didn't want to disrupt the reading. Yeah. Honey, watch this. We've read the Christmas story a million times. Well, not a million, but we read it many times, you know. Pastor G, Mom. Stars in the heavens announced the first coming. In the same way, today, it was stars in the heavens that announced the coming of his glory in us. He says, they, from the east. East is the theme of new beginnings. So from the east, they saw his star in the east. And then the wise men, watch this, they followed that star. And it led them to where the baby was. In the same way today, now let us read the scripture. Luke chapter 21, verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun. Woo! And in the moon. And in the... What happened? 2014, 15. We had the blood moons. We didn't understand it very well at that time. We knew it had spiritual significance. Yet not I, but by the grace of God which was with me, I was able to pick this revelation that it signified a increase in spiritual warfare in the heavens. There's always been warfare in the heavens, but it went, you know, the intensity of the warfare increased. And it is that caused the shaking of the nations. But the purpose of the shaking of the nations was so that the desire of all nations should come. Give the Lord a clap offering. Luke 21, verse 25 and 26, and then 27. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. Just like when Jesus was born the first time, there was a sign in the heavens. There was a star, and it was the wise men in the east that were able to recognize the significance of that star. Watch this, darling. And then they followed it. You have to follow the signs in the heavens, then it will bring you to the Christ. And that's what's happening now. That's what I, not just Olubi Johnson, but us, you know, and others, you know, who are doing the same thing, you know, we'll be following. And that it will bring you to the Christ, the desire of all nations. Read. Sign in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. if you take your eye off the ball, you will be distracted by the distresses and the perplexity and miss the point. Because the point is not the distresses and the perplexity. The point is a solution to the distresses and the perplexity, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because what's happening, most people's attention have been diverted. So they're fixated on the distress. They are fixated on the perplexity. Hey, what's going to happen? But they don't read the rest of the verse. The sea, or the next verse, and the waves roaring. That's not just the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean. It's part of it. You know, all the tsunamis and all that. But he's talking about people. When the Bible talks about, you know, Revelation chapter 17, verse 15, it says, the waters you saw are people. That's where Babylon was sitting on. She was sitting on. So when it says, this way, look at what is happening in the world today. The sea and the waves are roaring. People, have you seen all the riots in England? The riots in Netherlands? Anywhere they say they should take vaccine. The people don't want to take vaccine. So you see them going to riot and throw chairs and cause all kinds of things. The sea and the waves. These are the humanity under the pressure of this spiritual warfare are roaring. For fear, men's hearts failing them, for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Everybody say for. Is there any time you see for, find out what is there for. For is like because. In other words, what was causing the shaking? What was causing the roaring was the powers of the heavens that were shaken. What are those powers? Principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits, where? In heavenly places. So the blood moons signified an increase in the intensity of the spiritual warfare, bombarding the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places and bringing them back to the earth. So when they hit the earth, they started causing the shaking of the nations. They increased it. That's one of the things we're seeing we've never seen before. We've never seen before. I've been on this earth now 62 years. You know, when I read some, you know, I get this. Because I don't watch this. I don't feed on the news, but I listen to it. When I say I don't feed on it, I don't spend hours and hours just, you know, on Facebook. I don't even look at, you know, the social media. I don't do that. What I have my phone, and I got alerts. So when something is important, I get an alert, and I just look at it. And if it's significant, some God wants me to find out more about it, I dig into it. But usually, my normal, I'm 5-10 minutes because I'm busy with other things. So I do listen so that I know I am aware of what is going on. And you just find, you know, you hear things that are, they're bizarre, you know, all kinds of sexual immorality, even, you know, that's just on one side, you know, the fierceness of men, you know, the wickedness of men, you know, the lies. What's going on? And I realize it's evil spirits that have come back to the earth, just like in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, what caused the wickedness of man? Now, that's another message for another day, but I just hit it running. What was the fact that these wicked spirits, these sons of God, came to the earth and they had sex with human ladies, human women, you know, and then they gave birth to a stock of a distorted stock of humanity that God didn't plan. And that's what became the Anaks and the giants. And that's one of the reasons why God had to send the flood, to kill most of them and preserve the pure stock, which was only Noah, his wife, his sons, and their wives. As they began to repopulate the earth, watch this, darling, those spirits came back. Their influence. That is why, if you go and read Genesis chapter 6 very carefully, let's quickly look at it. I'm not going to look at only just one verse. I need to know your Bible properly. How am I doing without notes? See, the Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost is all right. He's the one that teaches me. All right. Now let's look at Genesis chapter 6. And, good. Just verse 4. Because I don't want to go. And they were giants. Oh, read the Bible, folks. And they were giants in the earth in those days. You see, man's natural height is usually 6 feet. 5 to 6 feet. If you're tall, you're 6'1", 6'2". If you're very tall, maybe 6'7". If you're really tall, maybe 7 feet. But if you start going beyond 8 feet, you are not normal. We have a few of them, but they're not many. It's the truth. The median height, that's a statistical term, the average height on earth is somewhere between 5 and 6. Most women are maybe between five feet and 5.5 feet. Men who are taller, you generally speaking, now of course you have tall women too, you know, are above 5.5. Some 6'1", 6'2". So that guy's really tall, 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", 6'7". We still accept it, Michael Jordan and boys, so they can play basketball properly. But when he starts going to 7, 7.5, 8, 8.5, 9, you can't even enter many houses. The door is not designed for you. Now that's what happened here. Because of, watch this, a genetic mutation. What I was speaking about earlier on. We need to understand that Satan interferes at the microscopic cellular DNA level. It's one of the reasons why you have to pray even when you take medicine. And your faith should not be in the medicine alone. Take the medicine, but pray so that the demonic forces do not interfere at the molecular and cellular level of what God is doing at that level. You're dealing with there's no word for it. Billions and billions upon billions and billions of atoms and molecules. We know that from science. One mole of any substance, like maybe carbon or oxygen or whatever, you know, has 6 × 10²³ atoms. Now, when you say a chemical reaction happens between something, you're looking at an interaction of trillions and trillions and trillions of those molecules, of those atoms, you know, and their electrons and all the things around them, interacting with another set. It is the average interference that now describes what we call a chemical bond. Now, if you are able to tweak those things and interfere with the normal natural chemical reaction, you can get, that's why you get all kinds of funny things. It's not God, it's the devil. And don't forget, his original name is Lucifer. He was created perfect in all his ways, summing up the sum of wisdom. So he's no fool. The devil knows physics. He knows engineering. He knows chemistry. He knows biochemistry. He knows medicine. He's better than all the professors. And that's why sometimes he gives that knowledge to some of his own people and makes them look better than the Christians. What a shame. But we're going to change that. It's God, we didn't know. We thought Christianity is just to sing choruses and go to heaven. No, it's to have the mind, believe the mind of Christ. So we will excel in wisdom above all the wisdom of the world and all the wisdom of Egypt. We will completely outstrip them. If that doesn't challenge you, I don't know what will. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when did the giants come? When the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, and the same became what? Mighty men of old, men of renown. That's how those guys came. There's some of them are still around today. Now, let me show you this in the New International Version. Thank you, Jesus. Am I helping anybody here? Oh, glory to God. Oh, good. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. A scripture where it says, where are we now? Yeah, it's there. Okay. He says, the Nephilim, that's what it means, just fallen ones, you know, were on earth in those days, and afterward, when sons of God went into life and had children by them, these were heroes of old. There's another scripture, it's also here, but just take my word for it. You can do the Bible research. He says, that was before the flood. Then even after the flood, the scripture that actually says that not only did this happen, you know, he says, even after this time. You see, what you need to understand, honey, hear this word. When people go to witch doctors, Baba, mo lo mo, mo fe bi mo. I'll translate. Women, many times under pressure, societal pressure, they go to witch doctors. No Christian should do this, but some people do, you know, and they haven't had the fruit of the womb. So they go to a witch doctor and they say, oh, I want a baby. I want a child. You see this in these witch doctors and some of these, you know, false churches. And the man will tell her, okay, yes, you can have a child. Of course you can have a child. And we will do something to help you have the child. So you make some incantations. They'll give them some things to eat and some things. And lo and behold, the woman gets pregnant. Many times that's not natural. It's demonic. And that fetus has a demonic seed inside it. Careful where you go. And who prays for you? And the source of your so-called miracle. A word is enough for the wise. Thank you. You know, so, you know, this thing has been going on, you know, for generations. Those things, they happen, you know, and they go, sometimes those men will sleep with them, or they will tell them, I know this for a fact, in some places, they'll say, you go and lie down in that place. You know, in the middle of the night, you carry one funny thing. There's a, something will come and meet you. Oh, yeah. It's those fallen angels. And they cohabit with them and they can't have a child. Oh, it happens. I know all of you are scratching your head funny. You know, it does happen. You know, the point I'm making is that these things have been happening, you know, and it is a source of these giants. Now, so a lot of things we're seeing on the earth today are a consequence of the influence of these demonic spirits, influencing the hearts, the thoughts, the feelings of men. You know, they're. How can you explain a man having affection towards another man? And it will be just like the man one a man has for a woman. They will be jealous. They will fight. Oh, yes! Even to marry? Oh, man. Something is wrong here. This is not natural. Scripture actually says, you know, leave the natural use. It's the demonic. And not just ordinary demons. The big boys. Coming down to the earth to cause all kinds of things. And so, let's get back to Luke. That's what happened. Thank you, Jesus. That has been happening all these years. In these last few years, men's heart failing them. The powers of the heavens have been shaken. So these demonic spirits have come down and they are interacting with men at a much greater level of proximity, a much greater level of intimacy than we've seen in the times past. That's why we're seeing the level of evil that we're seeing on the earth. No wonder why the scripture says, Pastor Andrew, that iniquity will abound. This is it. This is the cause. But the good news is, it says, men's hearts failing them. Okay, we read all of that. For the powers of the heaven are, and they shall see. Oh, I didn't hear you. The Son of Man coming in a what? Cloud. Now, that's going to be literal when Jesus comes back. Physically, he's going to come in the clouds and all of that. But there's also a spiritual, symbolic revelation, knowledge, understanding of this. Because the Bible says that, you know, he that boasts himself of a false gift is a cloud without water. The cloud there is symbolic of the ministry gifts. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And so Christ is going to come in us. So we're going to see manifestation of the sons of God coming in us. With what? Power and great glory. Hallelujah. God bless you, darling. Genesis 4. Genesis chapter 6 verse 4. Thank you, honey. What would I do without my wife? Glory be to God. Thank you for that clap offering. Genesis chapter 6 verse 4. What version? Thank you. The difference between PhD English and PhD Physics. Big difference. They were giants in those days and also, give the Lord a clap offering. And give my wife a clap offering for helping me. I knew it was there, but I didn't see it. And also after that. So it didn't just happen in time of Noah. After the Noah, that is where, of course, that's where Goliath and his three brothers came from. They were born after the flood. Goliath, that's where the Anak came from. In the book of Joshua. Who can stand before the sons of Anak? The archaeologists have dug up things, you know, in the Middle East and places like that. You know, the bed that the man was sleeping on is 13 feet. Thank you, darling. This, after that, the flood of Noah is Genesis 6. Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah is Genesis 18, 19. Hundreds of years after, one of the things that was vexing Lot's soul, is his fault anyway. If you don't want your soul to be vexed, don't pitch your stand towards Sodom. Another message for another day. You know, vexing his soul was that in Sodom, you can read this, you know, in the biblical, if you read the historical commentaries, you know, you just Google Sodom and Gomorrah, you get some of these things, you know. They used to have homosexual relations in the public square. It wasn't hidden. These Nephilim had interacted with men and so polluted their thinking such that in Sodom and Gomorrah, that was why the minute they saw those angels, when they came in the evening and Lot recognized that, yeah, this is like messengers from God, and Lot wanted to be hospitable and said, please come to my house and all of that. They actually came because of Lot, to save Lot from the fire that was going to come the next. They were the same guys who were going to bring the fire. But they had been given instructions by God through the intercession of Abraham that saved Lot and his family. So when they got there, Lot was so hospitable, he said, I will take them to the house. The Bible says that when the people heard that those men had come, they said, bring them out. Why? They were tall. They're angels. Good looking. And these pervert men wanted to have sexual relations because it was common in Sodom. Mercy, Lord! And many of you have been very, very ignorant. As it is, has been accepted today. It is now law. In the bastion of democracy, the United States of America. Not only that, Europe, everywhere now. Gay man. So much so that Prime Minister and the I don't know what to call it. And the spouse, in quotes. And they are accepted in international meetings. An enemy has done this. This is that shaking. This is the effect of these powers from the heavens. Pastor Jay and I and Mommy, we all grew up in the 60s and in the 70s. There's always been homosexuality. But people used to hide it. It was a thing of shame. Today, there is gay pride. In your face. It is not natural. It's the powers of the heavens. I'm going to close now. This is why now the nations of the earth. Let's go back now. Thank you, honey. So, and after that, and also afterward, I missed it because my English is not that good. Right. So we go back to Luke 25. Good. Yeah. And so they're going to see the Son of Man coming. What we call the manifestation of the sons of God. Go back to Haggai 2, and then we're going to go to Romans 8, and by the grace of God, we close. Look at Haggai, go back to Haggai 2, verse 6, because these two scriptures are actually interconnected. They're saying the same thing. Jesus is expatiating what Haggai said. I will shake the heavens and the earth. We see that in Jesus' statement. It says he will shake the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And I will shake all nations, we've seen. And the desire of all nations, that's Jesus coming in us. And I will fill this house with glory. So this shaking caused by these demonic spirits, these principalities and power, the powers of the heavens, is causing distress and perplexity in the nations. You're seeing things you never saw before. Things you never, even in Nigeria now, begin to hear some things. Is it possible? And it's happening right under our nose. But the good news is there is a desire in the hearts of men. They don't know it, but there is a desire of the hearts of men for God to appear. That's why this Christmas is so significant. And no wonder all our songs today were all centered around the desire of nations. Do you notice? All the hymns, everything. Look at Romans chapter 8. And I think one other one in Isaiah, and then I'm done. Romans chapter 8. And look at verse 19. For the earnest expectation, I didn't hear you. Of the creature or creation or the nations, you can paraphrase it like that, it's all correct. Waiteth the desire of all nations. Waiteth. The nations are waiting. They don't know what they're waiting for. They are waiting for somebody who can give them the answer. They're having meetings in Washington, in London, and all that, wondering how they're going to pay back the debt for the COVID-19. Just a few days ago, President Biden had to order for 500 million, testing kits. All this money is just, they're just printing it. They're just printing it. They're just printing it. You don't print money. You're supposed to print money that has a gold standard to back it. Nixon, President Nixon removed the gold standard as far back as 1971. Nobody now knows how big the national debt is. One day, look at what happened in 2008. Enron. Some rumor, Something happens and people want, they say, I don't want cash, I want gold. And the system begins to crumble. A crush is still coming. Economic one. And the people that are going to provide the answer is the church. I just got a tweet. Direct scripture is from that Haggai. And I will fill this house with glory. The gold. Give a lot of love. And the silver is mine. When they can't find gold and silver, the church will provide it. And save the situation. The economic collapse is coming. That is why the scripture will then be fulfilled that you will lend to nations. Because the nations will go into bankruptcy. Because they will not have the resources to be able to back their currency. My wife preached a message many years ago called the touch. What do you call it? Midas touch. You know what it means? It's fictional, you know, Greek mythology. But what it means is that everything you touch will become gold. Not literally, but whatever you set your hand to will be successful. It is that Midas touch that will now produce the backing for the currency of the nations. They will have to come to us to lead. I know all this sounds, Pastor Olubi, I want to go and eat jollof rice. Hold on, Ashanui. Hey, Shami. Hold on, Ashanui. May God enlighten your understanding. Okay, Monkoto, really, to discern the things that are of value. Jollof lomaya bebai. Jollof lomro. I'm reading them by the Holy Ghost. Out of a jollof motiri won. Out of a kwen jollof motiri won. I kwen fried rice lomro motiri won. Walk kung hol bai. Amen. The desire of all nations. That's a Christmas present you should be looking for. Then with that, all the jollof will come and the fried rice. And nothing wrong with jollof and fried rice. But if that's all you are thinking about, you will get hungry again. And when the crunch comes, because you do not have the desire of all nations, you will not have what it takes to be able to overcome the crunch. For the earnest expectation of the creature, let me look at the New International on this. Aha. I'm coming. Let me just, I'm checking the different translations. I'm trying to see which is most appropriate for what I'm trying to bring out. Okay, let's read the Amplified. For even the whole creation, all nature, that includes the nations, it includes COVID, it includes our bodies, all the distortion we see in nature, biological, geographical, climatic. Oh, people are trying to run around to solve the problem of climate change. Jesus has solved climate change. Give the Lord a clap offering. We've been burning carbon and all of that. You know, there is an answer. But the answer will not be implemented until the nations have been disciplined. Another message. For when the whole creation, all nature, for even the whole creation, excuse me, all nature waits expectantly. Ever say waits expectantly. And longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known. What is desire of all nations? That's it. When all creation, they are waiting expectantly, longs earnestly. This is an English expert here. Honey, there's a desire. Isn't that longing? Earnest longing? Different words, but the same Holy Ghost. That's the desire of all nations right there. The King James says, the earnest desires for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature, or the creation, nature, was subject to frailty, to futility, condemned to frustration. That's what we're seeing. Not because of some intentional fall on his part, but by the will of him, that's God, allowed to be subjected to the devil because of the fall of Adam. I just put all of that in. You know, that nature, let me go back to the King James. You know, sometimes, you know, these modern translations, they're good, but, you know, just give you the understanding of the English, and then you go back to King James to get the revelation. Talk to me. Amen. Because the creature itself shall be delivered. They will say delivered. From the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty. I will say glorious. There is a liberty. You know, it's going to be a liberation that will come by the glory. It is the glory of God that is going to bring the liberation of creation from the bondage of corruption. Give the Lord a clap offering. That is why the desire of all nations is that's in their heart. They don't know. But they desire. You know, people are just wishing that God will show up. They don't call it God. Just wishing that something will happen to deliver them. You know, because nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Just the other day, you know, a few days ago, there's a meeting between Putin, the Russian, and the Americans on this Ukraine crisis. Russia has amassed hundreds of thousands of troops on the Ukrainian border. I've been telling him, all the other NATO and America, I was like, what are you doing? What do you need so many troops? You know? Just building on, build up, not only troops, tanks, all kinds of military hardware. Every time they call Moscow, Moscow says, no, we're not going to invade. It's just a pure military exercise. It's just military, we're just doing what we just normally do. You know. So then why do you need so many? Then when they put him under pressure, and they said to him, look, if you try and invade Ukraine, there's going to be serious economic sanctions against you, and it's not going to be like what you did, because he did it some years ago when he got the Crimea. Then he also did some years ago when he went to Georgia. He said he's been playing around because America was distracted with her own internal crisis and politics, plus the fact that, you know, there was economic problem and everything. At that time, America didn't have the time to start facing Russia. So now he's tried it twice. He entered Georgia, took some land. He entered Ukraine, he took back the Crimea. Deep down inside his heart, he wants his Soviet empire back. So you know what he said just a few days ago? So they said to him, they said, look, you know, you have to stop this and all of that. He said, okay, give me guarantee that all these nations, Ukraine and all these satellite, none of them will join NATO. None of them, you know, will join NATO, and they will not make any pact with America. They won't have American troops. They will not have American military hardware in their nation. These are independent sovereign nations. How can I give you a guarantee of somebody's independence? He knows it's something they cannot do. So they say, if anything happens and they don't give me this guarantee, it will not be my fault. It will be the fault of the West. Those of you who don't know history will not appreciate what I'm about to say. This is just a replay of Adolf Hitler. Complete replay. He marches into the border of Czechoslovakia, 1935. Place called Potsdam. They had this same kind of meeting. Adolf Hitler tells them, I will march into Czechoslovakia, but if you give me the Sudetenland, the Sudetenland was like Nigeria and Benin Republic. Benin Republic, there are Yoruba-speaking people in Benin Republic. So Nigeria now gets up and says, look, we're going to invade Benin Republic, but if you allow the Yoruba-speaking part of Benin Republic to be annexed to Nigeria, I will not invade again. foolishly they believed Adolf Hitler. So they ceded the Sudetenland to Adolf Hitler. It hadn't been a few weeks. He knew they were not ready to fight. And they didn't have the strength, you know, the moral and physical strength. So you know what he did? They gave him the Sudetenland quite all right. He marched to Czechoslovakia. What could they do? Nothing. Nothing. Talk, diplomacy, go to the blah, 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 blah. 1935, 1936, 1937, 1938. He marches into Austria. Annexes it. 1939. They now give him a deadline and say, look, don't try Poland. You know what he does? I say, this guy is just, he's the same spirits. It's just different players. You know what he did? You know what he did? He put German troops on the Polish border, just like this. Then he now sent underground German troops to go to the Polish side and fire shells on the German side to make it look like Poland was the aggressor. And they were not the aggressor. It was his own people. And then he now said, hey, they are fired against us. We're going to march in. So he marches in September 1, 1939. That's when World War II started. Then he had given commandment, he had given instructions to the field commanders that if Britain or America, if they send play quickly, come back. Sadly, they dropped the ball. They dropped the ball. So one day, 2 days, 3 days. Neville Chamberlain. To now Britain and Germany and instead of war. Talk. No planes, no tanks, nothing happened. So Germany felt comfortable. And that's how World War II started. Within 2 weeks, Poland had fallen. Then he now turned to the West, dealt with France, dealt with everyone. That's how dictators are. Don't give him an inch. He will demand a mile. I got good news. In this place, he will give peace. As the manifestations, the desire of all nations arise, that situation will turn it around one way or the other. I got to close. The rice and the dodo is waiting. So I got to close. Amen. For the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of sons of God. Last scripture, Isaiah chapter 25. And then we're done. I think it was okay without notes. I think the Holy Ghost helps us. No notes. All the notes are in here. By the grace and the mercy of God. Okay. Good. And this is Isaiah chapter 25. And look at verses 8. We'll just do 8 and 9. There's so much we can do, you know. It actually starts from verse 6. In this mountain, talking about the church, Zion, shall the Lord of hosts make unto the people the feast of tabernacles and prayer and intercession. He will destroy. I didn't hear you. Verse 7. He will destroy in this mountain, the church, the face of the covering. These principalities and powers, we're going to destroy them. Are you listening to me? The veil that is spread over all nations. There is a veil of darkness now that is spread over all nations, but we're going to destroy it. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. Glory be to God. And he will swallow up death in what? Victory. And the Lord will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people he shall take away. No longer will they ask us, where is our God? You know, the question is going to change. Instead of, where is our God? It will be, surely God is in thee. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth. Said David told Goliath, he said, I will take your head from off your body this day so that all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel. And he will remove the rebuke. You have come to intimidate the armies of the God of Israel. I'm going to remove that rebuke from the earth today. And God is going to do it. He's doing it through us. Verse 9, and we close. And it shall be said in this day, Lord, this is our God. And we have, what is the earth waiting for? The manifestation of the sons of God, the desire of all nations. Stand to your feet. The desire of all nations. Christmas isn't just celebrating the birth of a little baby in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. It is that. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not playing that down at all. If he wasn't a baby, he would never have grown to be a man. If he didn't become a, if he didn't become a man, he would not have died and rose again. And he could not be living in us today. But that is the beginning of the Christmas story. The Christmas story must also end. It began with the baby in Bethlehem. That's why I love that song. Mary, did you know? Yes, it's a baby. But that baby is the great I am. The blind will see. The deaf will hear. The lame will walk. The dumb will sing the praises of the Lamb. Are you listening to me? That's why this Christmas, your desire now should be that desire of all nations. This is what the nations need to hear this message. Thank God it's on YouTube. That there is hope. All this darkness, all this COVID, all this, life will return back to normal. COVID will end. The pandemic will end. The financial shock will end. For I will fill this house with gold and with silver. And we will lend unto many nations. Hallelujah. The glory of God is coming. And all the nations of the earth will benefit from it. Kings will come to the brightness of our eyes. Are you listening to me? Glory be to God. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Mommy, you want to say something? You are doing like this. Don't worry. I've not forgotten. Thank you. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. You know, every birthday, the person wants, you ought to give somebody, you want to give him a present. Jesus doesn't need designer clothes, suits, or perfume. He wants your heart. That's the greatest present you can give God this Christmas, is to give him your heart. That's at two levels. If you're not born again, you've never accepted Christ, you don't speak in tongues, you know, you say, Pastor, with what I've heard, I want to come to know Jesus properly. I'd like you to put up your hand wherever you are. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Maybe somebody brought you. Let me put it in a simple way. If you're here tonight, this afternoon, and you don't speak in tongues, you need that gift of the Holy Ghost. Because that's what's going to open the door to all these things I've been preaching about. And you don't speak in tongues. Can you put your hand up and just come here to the front? I'm going to pray a short prayer with you. It's not going to be long. Today's Christmas Day. All those who are here, who are not filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't speak in tongues, just put up your hand and come here to the front. All I was like that too, many years ago. I couldn't speak in tongues. I didn't even know that Philippians was, I thought it was in the Old Testament. God bless you. God bless you. If you are at home and you're watching, and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray in a minute. All those who are in our midst, who are not filled with the Holy Spirit, don't speak in tongues. Maybe you brought a friend. Maybe you came with church with somebody. And this is your first time. God bless you. Or maybe it's not your first time, but you've been coming, but you don't know the Lord. You don't have this supernatural language. God bless you. I can see some more people coming. You know, maybe somebody brought you to church today. Say, come to Christmas Day. Oh, you've done a very good thing. Because unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you begin to speak this supernatural prayer language, there are so many things you will not be able to do. You cannot pray these great things we're speaking about, the glory of God that is coming. To partake of it, this is the foundation. God bless you. 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 Anybody else? Yes, I can see one or two people. Anybody else? We're going to pray now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Okay. Now, all of you in front here, look at me. Just 1 minute. I'm going to pray a simple prayer for you. That prayer is to allow Christ to come in your heart. You know what happens when a woman is pregnant? When a woman is pregnant, a new life comes inside her. And when that life comes inside her, it changes even her appetite. Even the food she used to like before, she won't like it anymore. When you really accept Christ and he comes into your heart, it will change you so that even the sin, the things you used to like before, you won't like them anymore. That's the real thing. Then he will give you the ability to be able to speak in a supernatural prayer language, a heavenly language, so you can pray properly. You can pray with power. And you can overcome all. You don't need to go to any babalawo. You don't need anybody to help you. The power in you, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. So pray this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you for your word. I thank you for bringing me here today. Today is Christmas Day. Jesus, my present to you today is that I give you my heart. I believe you died for my sins and shed your blood for the forgiveness, the cleansing, and the wiping away of all my sins. I also believe that you were raised again from the dead on the third day. So I accept you as my Savior, and I confess you as my Lord. I therefore now have eternal life, the divine nature, the same life that is inside you that makes you good. Is that same life that I receive into my heart now that will make me good? Teach me your ways. Show me how to love you and to serve you. And I determine in my heart that I will not go back to a regular life of sin, but rather I will serve you in righteousness and in holiness all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to pray another prayer. Just say, Heavenly Father, I have your life now. I am asking you now for the power of your Holy Spirit. I ask that you fill me now with the power of your Holy Spirit. And I expect to speak in tongues as you give me utterance and as I cooperate by doing the talking. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just pray in tongues. Just lift up your voice, whatever comes. And they will help you, you know, when you get to the back. If you're not doing it, it's just like when you start talking. And with time, you get used to it. In Jesus' name, amen. See this pastor with his hand up. And the people, they will take you to the back there. They will pray with you and give you some. Don't go home yet. We have a special present for everybody today. And this for the whole church. Now, we're going to pray. This is Jesus' birthday. Jesus is the desire of all nations. The nations desire to see Christ in us. They know we talk about Jesus. But do they see him? The manifestation of the sons of God. And I want you now to give your hearts to Jesus. Not your spirit. Your spirit is born again. Your mind, your will, your emotions. That God, this 2022, I'm going to see your glory. So that the nations will see it. And we will bring solution to the shaking of the nations. Relief to the shaking of the nations. Now let's pray. Say, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. Lord, help my unbelief. I repent of the sins of unbelief. Like children of Israel, who could not believe that they could possess the promised land. Who could not believe that they could overcome the sons of Anak. Lord, I repent. I receive your blood to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, your life and your power in sufficient measure. Father, I give my heart to you afresh so that you will occupy it with your life, your character, your fruit, your power, and your glory. And so bring the answer to the desire of the nations at this time. To bring relief to the nations from the shakings that these evil spirits, the powers of the heavens, are presently causing on the earth. So we will overcome them and demonstrate your glory. That the Bible says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And all the earth will see it together. Oh Father, have mercy on me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me to be a part of the answer, not a part of the problem. A part of the answer that will manifest the desire of all nations to our generation at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here or you're at home and you need healing, the Bible says we should pray for the sick. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. All God needs is a very small act of faith at this level. The woman with issue of blood touched his garment. Blind Bartimaeus shouted, Lord, have mercy on me. That's all he did. But it was an act of faith. So I want you, as an act of faith, just stretch your hand. If you are home, stretch your hand towards your device. If you're here, just lift your hand up. Just simple act of faith. But it shows that you believe that as we pray, God will heal you. Father, we send the healing word. You sent your word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. We come against every spirit of infirmity, spirit of sickness, spirit of depression, spirit of oppression. We cast you out. Amen. We destroy your works. We bind you in Jesus' name. We say, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering.